Well, we are just about as tickled as we can be to welcome Dan Seavey into our studios. He is the gala speaker this year for the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon and one of the founding fathers of the Iditarod. Dan, hi, good morning.
Well, good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Duluth, and greetings from Alaska.
Yeah, so where it's probably warmer.
It is warmer at this as we speak, I'm sure.
Oh, geez. You know, Dan, as I was pulling together some notes to talk to you, I realized that I could introduce you as a teacher, a musher, the father of an Iditarod champ, the grandfather of another Iditarod champ, an author, a historian, a preservationist. If you had to pick a title, one title, what would it be?
Oh, grandfather.
Definitely. That's your favorite role.
That's my favorite. At this moment, right.
At this moment. Grandchildren, right. Keep it that way.
And great-grandchildren, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
We got little ones in the great-grandchild category. So,
boy, and Grandpa's still running dogs. What wonderful stories they'll have to tell.
Yep, we're trying to indoctrinate them as young as possible.
There you go. You and your wife left Minnesota in 1963 to head up north to Alaska and teach history. And shortly thereafter, you said, oh, let's get dogs and do mushing. How did that come about?
Well, that was very shortly thereafter. We hit the scene there in Seward, Alaska in August. And I believe it was about middle of September we had our first husky. So we've been with dogs for a long, long time now.
So had you had, you know, pet dogs before?
Oh, yes. We grew up with, you know, farm dogs and hunting dogs and that sort of thing. So dogs have always been in the mix from childhood on.
So getting dogs was nothing new, but having dogs to mush was something different.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Didn't know, basically, well, knew nothing about dog mushing as such, and had to learn from ground zero up, make all the mistakes and trials, tribulations, adventures and misadventures that would be associated with that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was a learning experience. The mushing part of it was definitely a learning experience from the time we got to Alaska. And it still is today. There's so much to know about dogs and dog mushing and simply the psychology involved and so forth, training, that you don't, well, like I like to say, you don't live long enough to get real smart.
And isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And the older you get, the smarter you realize you're not.
You got it. Yes, absolutely.
So you went up to Alaska, and you kind of got involved in the culture and the area there, and the powers that be said, oh, we've got the Iditarod Trail, and we'll put up some signs to mark it. And my understanding is you went, no, not signs. There needs to be a real trail.
Well, let's get it historically correct. There was a trail. The Iditarod Trail in Alaska was a gold rush trail, and it was developed with the aid of the government, the U.S. government. We were territory at the time, and there was an Alaska Road Commission was established in 1905, and that commission actually established the mail route. Which became commonly called the Iditarod Trail from Seward to basically to Nome, Alaska. So it was an established trail. As time went along, of course, with the advent of the airplane to carry mail and freight into the backcountry, of course, the trail and dogs fell into disuse, you might say.
And so you said, let's reestablish the trail, and you were part of the group of people that was interested in reestablishing the trail, and then you raced in the very first Iditarod in 1973.
That is correct, yeah. I like to give the, rather than pat myself on the back, of course it's like any new organization, there's got to be many people involved, true believers, and it's interesting that, that in the case of the Iditarod Trail and it becoming a National Historic Trail, the idea and the impetus for that to happen started with a little old dog mushing club called the Aurora Dog Mushers out of Kinnick, Alaska. So Just a few people can make a tremendous difference.
When you think about dog mushing, you think about it being done, with the exception perhaps, you know, of modern harnesses and sleds that look a little different. You think about it being done pretty much the way it was always done. And yet the conditions that the mushers in 1973 had and the things that they had to do mushing the Iditarod in 73 compared to the way racers will do it this year are really, really different. Talk about some of those differences. They're fascinating.
Oh, boy. Yes. Well, we've had, 42, 43 years of evolution in distance racing as far as the Iditarod goes. It's really noteworthy that the Bear Grease, 30 years. I mean, we're old timers in the game, both of us. And we were primitive. I mean, compared to racers today, the 1973 and early racing teams were pretty primitive teams, and the equipment, thus trail, the nutrition, the dogs themselves, the people, the mushers. There's been such an evolution that it's astounding when you think about it. Our first champion in 1973 arrived in Nome at 20 days flat. I was third place with 20 and a half days. To give you an example, now we've broken the, we're just under 9 days. We're into the 8 day category for a finisher. So a lot has happened, not the least of which, of course, is better trail preparation, better trail marking. Some things that most people wouldn't even think about have revolutionized the racing in Alaska, and I assume here. And that's take something like the headlight. I got to Nome in the first race with a two-cell flashlight in my pocket, and it still had power. The battery still had juice in them by the time I got to Nome after 20 and a half days. But that something like the headlight means that the race never stops. Early races, we planned it on daylight. Our schedule was, you know, basically during the daylight hours, we started camping when it started getting dark.
That seems to make actually a little more sense.
Well, but we thought so at the time, but it doesn't add for a fast race.
No.
And so consequently, with the headlight, just say, the race never sleeps. We don't plan race schedules, based on how much daylight is. We just turn on these lithium-powered headlamps, and away we go.
And, of course, the Bear Grease is adding GPS tracking to mushers this year.
Yep, that's another thing, and that's a wonderful... I'm a bit old-fashioned in my outlook, but the GPS tracking is a wonderful spectator component to sled dog racing, and I'm thoroughly happy to hear that the Bear Grease is doing that.
Because, well, not to mention a safety aspect. I mean, there you are. You disappear for 20 days, and your family hopes they know where you are.
But there's a downside to that, too.
Because your family knows where you are.
Right. I'll take my own example. In 2012, when I ran as a centennial musher, for the historic trail alliance up there, I wasn't trying to break any records, and you know I never did because of that break any records. But I took a 16-mile detour around Squintna, and everybody in the world knew I was lost except me. I mean, I didn't know where I was, but everyone in the world knew where I was. I got stalled on the ice in front of Koyuk, and spent some time on the ice there, and everybody in the world knew where I was. Well, I knew where I was, but the point is everyone could see that, hey, what's he doing sitting out on the ice for 6-8 hours?
No mistakes
allowed.
Yeah,
there's no privacy.
No.
but
right.
From
the
spectator standpoint, it's a great innovation and wonderful thing.
Dan, I know that you're going to be sharing wonderful stories at the Gallup, but this one I've got to find out about. What's the deal with the $5 bet and the dogs in the high school? What was
Don't tell me you've been reading my book, because that's the only way that could happen, for you to have that information.
Tell me this. Well, there's no privacy, remember?
That's true. Let's first of all preface this by saying that our principal was gone that day.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And this other teacher who always had a bit or something going with the staff, you know, it was all in fun. But he made me a $5 bet that I couldn't run my team through the length of the high school, you know, in one side and out the other end sort of thing. And, he was on.
Exactly. Yeah. $5 was at
stake. I hooked up seven dogs, and not only did I run the bottom floor, but I decided to take a little detour, and I went up to the second floor, up the stairways and across down the halls and down the other side, and I won the $5. Yeah,
that's a
good
thing.
And a good story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Dan, you're going to be, I can't ask you to scoop your whole speech. Well, I could ask you, but I know you won't scoop your whole speech to the gala. But you'll be standing there facing a group of mushers getting ready to race a marathon. You'll be on the other side of the podium because you've been that guy in the audience a million times. What are you going to tell them that you think that you, what is it that you really want them to know?
I'm going to ask him, why in the world didn't they take up stamp collecting? something you can do in the warmth of your living room. No, I haven't really prepared a whole lot. I kind of play it by ear. I think one of the things I have learned since getting involved with the Bear Grease this year is that you guys... The Bear Grease has done a tremendous job, and I'm going to play on that. I think that you're on the right track. I can see this as a ongoing, you know, it's a community affair, and the more people we can get involved in the community, the more people that buy into it emotionally, and we hope with a few bucks here and there as well, the better it is for the community, because they can identify with it. People in the community can identify. That's our race, the Duluth Bear Grease. I mean, it's internationally known. I mean, when anymore, I grew up, not too far from here. My folks lived in Duluth. I have relatives here. And whenever I hear Duluth, I don't think of Superior Street. I think of the Bear Grease.
Well, good for you.
So, and that's the identity that I would promote. And encourage throughout.
Dan, thank you so much. I'm afraid we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us,
Lisa,
this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
It was great to have you here. Dan Seavey is the gala speaker for the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon and one of the founding fathers of the Iditarod. It's 8:15, and this is Northland Morning.